Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Peach State Pandemonium, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Take a trip down memory lane for a look at professional wrestling the way it used to be. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear as PSP rides again. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Peach State Pandemonium with your hosts, Mike Norris, Jerry Oates, and Bobby Simmons.
All right, all right, all right. Back after a week of absence, we have returned with Peach State Pandemonium. This is Michael Norris, and as always, I am joined by my co-host, the Georgia Gentleman, Jerry Oates, and the Cabbage Town Kid, Bobby Simmons. What you guys doing this evening?
I'm doing great, guys. How you guys doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How is Circus World there, my boy?
Oh, it's doing fine. The last Thursday, the reason we weren't able to go on the air is I got recruited at the last minute to run the show, our first show in Wappinger Falls. It was actually Ronnie's town, but he wanted me to get the deal of actually being on and being in charge of the show. I don't know if it was a good sign or a bad sign, but about 30 minutes before showtime, we got golf ball size hail and we had to cancel the first show. So
much for me being in charge. That sounds like my luck.
But we got the second show in and drew a decent house for it not to be for sure whether or not we were going to go, because we were waited until the last minute to decide whether or not we were going to go then. But we decided that the weather held out and we didn't get any more rain, but it was bad there for a while. And, you know, even rain doesn't affect us because we're under the tent and everything. The main thing we have to be concerned about is high winds, and we had some gusts of up to 60 miles an hour. And it looked nasty there. And, you know, me being from the south, the minute I start seeing hail, you know, in the summertime, first thing I'm thinking is a tornado. And so I was looking for a trailer to crawl up under. but it held out. And we drew real well the rest of the weekend. So it turned out well. They have now moved on to, they're in the great state of Connecticut. Ronnie and I have officially divorced. He is in Long Island, and I'm still here in Middletown. I'll be here until the 7th of July, setting up Monticello. We're in Monticello on the 5th and 6th. And I was telling Jerry before we went on the air, this weather up here, it was hot the first couple of shows that we did in Kingston. The weather was up above 90. And it was miserable, but then we had the bad weather last Thursday, and then it cooled down. And here in Middletown, all this week, it's been the high has been like 73, 74 degrees.
Well, I don't know about Savannah, but here in Atlanta, we sure making up for what you not getting up there.
Our high today was only like 90 today, Bobby.
Jeez. I was sitting on Peachtree Street about 4 o'clock and looking at the Fox Theater, and they got their marquee, runs the time and everything, and today at 4 o'clock it said 96 degrees. Mm-hmm. Of course, being downtown with all that concrete and those high rises and the glass reflecting, I'm sure it's hotter there than it is, you know, out in the suburbs, but it's been miserable downtown.
Are you right downtown?
I am, well, if you consider Five Points downtown, I'm probably 2 miles north of that. I'm right on Peachtree Street, just a block north of the Fox Theater.
Oh, okay. So do you catch that morning traffic?
Oh, yeah. When we first moved to this location back in March, I tried every conceivable way, back roads, you know, everything I could think of. And, you know, I've come to the conclusion that I'm better off just jumping on 75 and just riding it out, because it's a few less miles doing the straight shot, and I get there about the same time. So,
what time do you have to leave home?
I'm very fortunate that I don't punch a clock. I'm on a salary, so I get there around between 7:30 and 8 o'clock. So I leave my house around during the school year when the buses are running. I leave my house about 6:20, and it puts me into the office about 7:45. And then in the afternoons, I leave the office around 4:30, and I get home around 6 o'clock.
Good Lord!
So. Good 12 hours every day.
That's anywhere in Atlanta, though. One of the last jobs I had before I left Atlanta, I worked at a concrete plant that was actually only about 6 miles from where I was living. It took me 45 minutes to get there.
I don't know how y'all handle that. I've lived in some big cities, but I couldn't take that. I really couldn't.
Well, I'll tell you, it sounds funny, but this is the gospel if I've ever told it. I made my mind up years ago that I wasn't gonna let traffic give me a stroke. I don't think about it. I listen to the radio. Again, I'm fortunate I don't have a job where I'm punching a clock, so nobody says anything if I'm a little late. So I just ride it out.
That's all you can do, man. You cannot.
I mean, I see these people, and you know the thing is, and I've seen some strange things, as I'm sure you have, being on the road, but. I mean, I've seen people throw hammers out the window at other cars, you know, people shooting, getting out, cussing, waving guns. I mean,
but everybody's in the same boat.
Oh, yeah, it's, you know.
I mean, that's insanity.
One of the funniest things, and I wish I could have seen it, but one of the funniest things I've ever heard told, this is going way back when we were working for Gunkel in 73. One of the first big rock and roll shows they did at the Atlanta Stadium.
ZZ Top.
I don't remember who it was, but it was on a Saturday. And there was tons, I mean, you know, just traffic was horrible. And Larry Hamilton is trying to get to Atlanta TV. And he himself told the story, said he was cussing and fussing and raising Cain. And some guy behind him was sitting down on the horn, and, of course, Larry couldn't go anywhere. So they said Larry jumped out of the car, and he said the guy out of the car thought, well, who is this old man? And said some guy jumped out of the car and went running toward Larry like he was going to cuss him out or hit him or something. And they said when the guy got within arm's length of him, Larry knocked the guy out. Just one punch, boom, right in the middle of the expressway, knocked the guy out. And so he just got back in his car, and when the traffic started moving, he drove off and left the guy laying there.
That's him.
But that was his, you know, that was the way he was.
The thing that used to get me the worst is when I was living in, I first moved out to Gwinnett County, I was working downtown. I was at 180 Peachtree Street, right there at the corner of Peachtree and Ellis Street. And I would take 75. I would go up 85 to the 75, 85 to 75 split, and take 75 on in. But I would see the same people every day. I mean, if you go that route every day, you're going to get used to seeing the same cars, same people around the same time. And it never failed. The same people would always wait for the last minute to do that exit off there and then want to try and move over. Now, they were just like me. They drove the same route every day. And I'm always one. I usually try and think ahead. If I'm going to have to exit off in 5 or 6 miles, I'm going to go ahead and get in that right lane and just ride that lane until it's time to exit off. But I would see the same cars every day trying to ease over from the far left lane right there where they're supposed to exit and try and get off. And it just drives me crazy.
And those are the people that wind up throwing the hammers and stuff because they get mad
exactly.
at you. I look at their
exactly.
tag. If a guy's trying to cut in front of me after I've waited in a line like that, if I look at his tag and it's a local tag, I won't let him over.
Because
they know. I mean, they knew that, and they're just trying to, you know, bypass everybody else. So, I don't know. Traffic's just, I don't know. It's hard to explain. And, you know, it's gotten
so
much worse.
The worst thing for me is I worked in Alpharetta for a couple of years when I was with Verizon. And there was no way no good way to get to where I was. It was off Windward Parkway. You guys are familiar with that. Because going up 400, you can forget that. 400 was always a parking lot. So I found a back way where I would go, because I was still living in Gwinnett County. I would go through Suwannee over and pick up and go in the back way over that way. Well, it was all two lane. That was bad enough. One afternoon, I usually left work about, I would get off work at 5, but I would normally hang around till about 6 to let the traffic die, and then it was usually easier for me to get home. I left at 6 o'clock one night, and I got home at 11:30.
Oh, come on, man.
There's no, there was only one of those one-way, those two, you know, those two-lane roads, there was a bridge, and somebody had run off that bridge and had backed up traffic for that long. So I'm thinking I'm going to be smart and I'm going to go another way. I wound up at Lake Lanier and tumbled back and got home. I finally got home at 11:30.
I'd have quit my job.
Well, you know, I-75, you know, I mean, years ago, you know, I mean, I knew, you know, like everybody else in the wrestling business, depending on where you were, you knew what time you needed to leave in order to get to where you were going at 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we knew we had to leave 1941 to get to Savannah by 7:30. We had to leave at 3:30. And that gave us enough time to stop at Sweat's Barbecue for a sandwich and some coffee. But if we left any later, we were pushing it. You know, I knew I needed to leave an hour and 5 minutes from my house to get to Macon on Tuesday nights, or 2 hours and 45 minutes to go to Albany. Well, you can't do that anymore around here. Driving
me crazy. Where were you living at the time, Bobby?
Oh, geez.
Where were you living at the time?
I lived, most of that time I was in College Park, out there at 285, Old
right.
National Highway, right there at 85, right around that area. But I mean, it was just it drives me crazy now. I mean,
but it's even what double that now. I mean, traffic or triple.
Well, at least. I mean, 75 has more lanes between here and Macon, and it takes you longer to go to Macon now than it ever did because you got so much traffic. I mean, there is just so many people out there on the road now.
Man.
I mean, it's insane, and we've talked about this before with gas prices doing what they're doing. I mean, I don't know how people continue to travel like they do.
I don't either.
Oh, well.
Let's help the circus business because nobody's going anywhere. They're looking for local entertainment. So when we come into these little towns, you know, we're the main event. And so it's helped us draw a lot. This last show that we did in Wappinger Falls, we were hosted by the local stadium, which is home to a college team up here, the Hudson Valley Renegades. And they said the same thing, that because of the gas prices and everything, nobody was traveling this summer. They were staying home. And, you know, with a minor league baseball or a college baseball team there, they were drawing decent, or were anticipating their season open this week. They were anticipating drawing good houses as well. So bad for some is good for others. So that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, that's the way it works.
Have you rode the elephant yet?
No, New York. State of New York, they won't let you do elephants. Besides that, that elephant sees me coming at it. It's liable to back up and run. It's not.
you can't take an elephant into New York.
No, you can. You just can't do rides.
Oh, rides.
There's two states in the union that New York is one, and Georgia is the other one that will not allow elephant rides.
Is that right?
That's it.
Huh.
We can just take pictures. Now, we can ride. We have kids ride. We do a pony ride, and we let them ride the camel, but no elephants. Unless you're one of the performers during the act, you can't ride the elephant. I don't know what the reasoning is behind it, but that's the way it is.
Well, if I was riding the elephant, I'd be performing.
Me and you both.
Well, I'm going to get our guest on the line. We're going to be joined tonight by the great Levi Banks. So let me call him and get him on the line with us. We'll hear an hour worth of her head down stories from Levi.
Oh, jeez.
Hello? Levi. Levi.
Yes, this is he.
Hey, this is Michael, Jerry, and Bobby. Welcome to
doing?
Peace State Pandemonium. All right. Let me give you a proper introduction. This is a man who is sweeter than, what was it, 10 pounds of Dixie Crystal Sugar.
Crystal Sugar.
Sweet Daddy Levi Banks.
That's pretty sweet, isn't it?
Yes, that's sweet.
He's also a guy so stiff when he shakes hands with you, your knuckles are bruised.
That's cold.
Nah, well, you know, truth in advertising, my boy. How are you, Levi?
I'm fine. And you? Who am I speaking with?
This is Bobby.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey.
We've also got Jerry Oates on with us, Levi.
Hi, Jerry.
Levi, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing just fine.
Where you living now?
With you guys. I'm here in Atlanta.
Oh, you're in Atlanta?
Yes, I'm in Atlanta.
Oh, you fight that traffic too then, huh?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Love that traffic. Love it. You can't help but to love it if you live here.
Might as well love it.
Right. You can't fight it, so love it.
Yeah, that's right. You can't fight it.
Yes. How you guys doing?
I'm doing great, Levi.
Good, good. Are you still down in Macon?
No, I was in Columbus, Georgia, all my life, most of my life. And Ted, my brother, lives in Macon. I live in Savannah now.
Are you in Savannah?
I'm in Savannah.
Are you still working out?
Yes, sir. Worked out this afternoon. I'm going to do that till they put me in a box.
Till you put you in a box. Okay, well, that's good. That's good. Yeah.
I have to do that.
Yes. That's the key to life, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's
the key
to life, working out. And you said Bobby's there, and you.
Just me.
Who else is there?
That's it, you right now.
So
sure, we'll be joined later on. By some folks. Levi, you're from Atlanta originally, right?
Are we live?
Yeah,
yes, we're
live.
Are we going out on the air?
Yes, sir.
We are out on the air.
Okay, that sounds good. Yes, I'm from Atlanta. Originally from Atlanta.
How'd you get in the business?
Well, it was a hard road for me. For me, because I had no contacts in wrestling.
Right.
And I had no mentors. So what I had to do was go out, learn the craft by trial and error, and work on small independent shows until I learned the craft itself. And once I learned the craft itself, and people seen that I could draw a little something, then they decided to take a chance on me, give me a shot. So I'm basically was a self-taught, trial and error.
What all territories did you work in?
Well, I've been in Florida, Georgia, Virginia, Louisiana, Canada, Ohio, Detroit. That's just just about the area that I can think of right off the top of my head, but I've traveled this country inside and out. But
when were you in Louisiana?
I was working for I think it was, now you took me back years ago. You took me back years ago. I think it was Bill Watts had the territory.
That's right.
Yeah, I was working for Bill Watts. And if I'm not mistaken, you're taking me back a little while, so the memory, we're talking about 35, almost 30-some years ago. If I'm not, I don't recall right now. I don't want to call the wrong town or city.
I was out there in 1977.
In 77?
Yeah, I was out there the whole year of 77.
Okay. No, I was there before. Let me see. If I remember correctly, I was there in it was before 77. It was about 70. It might have been a year before that, because in 77 I was in Mobile area.
Actually, you were in Mobile in 76, Levi.
76 and 77.
That's, yeah, that's where I was first familiar with Levi, as he came into came into Mobile. And
76
and 77. Yeah, you were there from probably March, April of 76 into early 77. And is that the area that you probably, as far as your career, worked on top the longest, was in the Mobile Gulf Coast area?
Yes, at the longest. Yes, at the longest. Yes, you're absolutely right.
Levi was the Gulf Coast heavyweight champion there for several months. And we weren't very popular back then, I'll put it that way. at least with the fans, so he was doing his job right. Levi came in with the blonde hair and the and I'll have to say this, Levi wore sparkly gloves long before Michael Jackson ever thought about it.
Yeah. And the white glasses.
And the white sunglasses. And the fans used to call him Uncle Remus because he had his beard dyed white. you worked with quite a few guys there. Who did you enjoy working with the most in the Mobile territory?
Probably the one I enjoyed to work with the most was Bob Kelly. Bob Kelly was probably the I enjoyed working with him the most.
What made him so special among the others that you worked with there?
I think what made Bob special is his personality. I think personality go a long ways, and his personality, I was a heel, and he was considered a baby. And at the time, it was just like a winning combination. His personality and my personality, I just enjoy working with Bob Kelly.
That's what it takes. When did you work here in Georgia?
I worked in Georgia. Mind you now, in Georgia, I was still green. That was in the 70s, about 72 or 73. I was, Tebow had broke away from the National Wrestling Alliance. And he had started his own thing with Jim Wilson.
That's right.
And I worked with him at one of the largest shows they had at the Omni in Atlanta. I was on that show with Thunderbolt Patterson, Tebow, Leon Chong, at the time his name was Beautiful Bobby. And if I remember... I can't remember the other guys there, but that was probably where I worked here in Georgia. And just a little after that, Ann Gunker started. And it wasn't a place for me in Ann Gunker at the time, so I had to leave Atlanta after that.
Did you ever work Tennessee?
Oh, Nick Goulas. I worked.
Well, that's a sneaky laugh, isn't it?
Oh, no. Let me give you a little background on that. I didn't work Tennessee because I had heads up. Bearcat Brown was a personal friend of mine. He was in the business long before I even started. His name is Matt Jewell. I knew his whole family. And he gave me a heads up. And plus his brother, Bobcat, which is Harvey Jewell. So we had a heads up, and I kind of stayed away.
Well, I had the same advice. I never made that run.
Yeah. I had another friend of mine that was instrumental in helping me get along. Was right off the bat, it was Mario Galento. He was real instrumental in me getting in the business. He gave me a lot of pointers.
When did you start?
I started in the early 70s, about 71, 72. I just that was back when they used to have the sports arena here in Atlanta. I used to go over and try to get booked on the sports arena. And I don't know if you guys remember this, but they had Tom Jones and Bearcat Brown. They was they started the match at the sports arena. There was a friend of mine named was Sherman Hensley. And he was the driving force trying to get me in the business. And they had kept us away, and he decided that he wanted to jump in the ring on the first two guys that came in the sports arena, and it was Tom Jones and Bearcat Brown. And I was in the background, and that was probably my first experience with Georgia Championship Wrestling. Yeah, mind you, man, I didn't jump in the ring. But Sherman Hensley, he jumped in the ring because he wanted to get on the card, and he was kind of denied. The frustration, he took it out on the first two wrestlers that came out, and we're talking about this was probably 1970, I think, if I'm not correctly. I think I'm almost sure it was 1970.
And you said you never worked. Didn't you work in Memphis, though?
Yes, I worked in, when he said Tennessee, naturally Nick Gulis came up. So that's why I stopped there. I did work in Memphis. As a matter of fact, I worked with, can't think of his name. I'm doing this cold after all these years now, so bear with me. Thinking of his name, I can think of his name.
Not Lawler.
Jerry Jarrett.
No. King Jerry Lawler. It was King Jerry Lawler, and what's his name was on top at the time. It was can't think of his name. Him and Sputnik was partners for a long time.
Norvell.
Norvell Austin. They were on. Norvell was on top at the time. So but the areas I went to, I wasn't able to stay because I wasn't an established wrestler at the time. I was still trying to get my mark. Even though I had the size, I just liked the experience at the time.
Right. How long did you stay in the business?
Oh, I stayed in the business 30 years.
Is that right?
30 years. Yes, in the early 70s to probably 2000, the late 2000, I was still working little small shows. But I think, no, I'm sorry. I make a mistake. It was in the 90s that I quit. It was in the 90s. About 95 or 96 during the Olympics. I think that's when it was. I remember when the Olympics came to Atlanta, I decided the wrestling was, wasn't going to cut it for me, so I decided to step away from it. And I only did small shows after that. I would go out and work, but 95, 96, so we're looking at about 25 years.
That's still a long time.
Yeah, it's a long time. I got the bruises and the bad hips and knees to show you.
Yes, sir. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Now help me get this straight, Levi. Were you the big O or were you big bad O? I can't ever keep you and Obie apart as to who was which.
Okay. Big O used both of those names. He used them depending on where he was. His name was Roy Lee Obie. And he was the big O and he was the big bad O. So
where was he from?
He was from here in Atlanta. He was from Fayette County.
What ever happened to him?
Well, he was a big man, as you know. He was about 6'3 and a half and weighed about 320. And he had kidney problems.
I'll be dog.
Back at Wilkerson, I know y'all guys remember him.
Oh, yeah.
He had the same problem that back at Wilkerson had. He had kidney problems. And as a matter of fact, he was on dialysis just like back at Wilkerson was. And he had a heart attack and died.
Well, I'll be dog.
Roy could have made a lot of money in this business if he'd been willing to travel.
Yes.
He could work, and he had that look.
Yes, and that means a lot.
Yeah.
So when you teamed with, you were Sweet Daddy-O then when you teamed with
Sweet
him, correct?
No, not Sweet Daddy-O, Sweet Daddy Banks.
Okay. I knew that was the name you used in Mobile. I wasn't sure where you used it. Now, what made you decide to go with the blonde hair and the Sweet Daddy gimmick? Were you a fan of Seekies, or had you seen Seeky growing up?
I was a fan of Seeky because the man could work. And he had something I figured out earlier in the wrestling business. You got to have something that attract people's attention. All guys can work, but you got to be able to stand out in front of the crowd. You got to be able to walk out the door and the people start booing you before you say a word. And so when I seen Sweet Daddy Seeky work, and I seen that the man could work, and I paddled myself after him.
Seeky had a body on him too.
Yes, he had a body. He had a body, and him and Novell were the two guys that I admired most because they could do some things that I could never ever master.
Where was Seeky from?
He was a Canadian.
I didn't know that.
He was a Canadian.
I was around him some, not a whole lot.
Yeah, he was a Canadian. As a matter of fact, when he got out of business, he began to sing country and western songs.
Is that right?
Yeah, he was a country and western singer.
If I'm not mistaken, I think he has his own place there in Toronto. It's a nightclub or a bar or something that he performs at. He still performs country music up there.
Yeah, he's still around. He's still around.
Was you ever around him, Bobby?
Never met him.
I don't know where I met him. I was around him somewhere. I don't know if it was Florida or where.
You ever worked Detroit, Jerry?
Yes, sir.
That's probably where it was. He was.
It could have been.
Yeah,
it could have been.
You know, that was his frequent home for the Sheik.
Yep, I worked for Detroit.
Let me say one word to Levi here. I'm going to throw a name out here, Levi, and I want you to give us the history of this. Selma, Alabama. That's your two words.
Selma, Alabama.
Tell us about Selma, Alabama.
Selma, Alabama is probably the one thing that make me famous in the wrestling business. Everybody has something to make them famous. I was the champion, and I was defending my title against Burrhead Jones. And Burrhead Jones was a local hero in those areas. And I would be belittling him and telling him I didn't appreciate his type of attitude. You should be driving Lincolns and Cadillacs and not being Uncle Tom and things like that. And we had a sale out. And what I did, I was in the back of the dressing room one to lace my boots up. And you know how things come in your head? And I thought, I said, what can I do to make this show exciting? So what I did, it was an old hat with two balls hanging off the side of it. I wore that hat out, and I told the people that he would never, ever knock this hat off my head. I am just that much better than this Uncle Tom. And I sold the whole match, and every time I throw the hat in the audience, they threw it back in there. And I made my comeback and I beat him, and we had a riot there. A riot. Those people like to, they come, if it wasn't for the other, all of the other wrestlers, they would have killed me. They had to escort me out the city by a state patrol.
That's what stole being over.
Yeah, I can thank Dick Dunn, Greg Peterson, Burrhead Jones, Cowboy Bob Kelly, and a host of other guys to get me out of that place alive.
How long was it before you went back to Selma?
Oh, I didn't go back to Alabama, not only Selma. That was back in the, I think, about 77. I didn't go back to Alabama until a little over 2005, I think. No, the last time I went was when I first went to the wrestling reunion. So we're looking at it's been I've been there for 14 years. So it was about 20 years.
And you did go to Selma about 5 years ago.
No, I'm talking about from 77 up until I went to Selma.
You did come over to Selma about 5 years ago because we had a little get together over at Bill Sellier's house.
I know, but I'm talking about he was. Yeah, that's right. You absolutely
yeah,
right.
Yes,
that was our first trip. Was our first trip back to Selma. I haven't been back there. We had a. You're absolutely right. Yes, we did. DLC and his wife, they were two of the sweetest people you ever meet on this earth.
Yeah, because me and Charlie Smith was telling the State Patrol you was coming.
Yes, that was my first trip back to Selma, Alabama. That was the only time I went back to Selma, Alabama.
We were going to pull a rib on you. One of Bill's neighbors is a state trooper, and we were going to have him come to the door and knock on the door and ask for you. But
when he came back over, he didn't have blonde hair and white sunglasses on.
Oh, yes, I was a lot older then.
There's a coda to this story that Levi just told. It doesn't even involve, well, it does involve him, but it more involves me. After that little shenanigans he and Burrhead pulled there and caused that riot in Selma, they banned professional wrestling from Selma.
You kidding me?
First time they shut it down. The first time somebody was able to run in there was in June of 1981. Ron Fuller talked his way into getting in there. And guess who was in the opening match on that card?
You.
I was working with Mike Jackson. Well, the only security we had, what was that policeman's name, Levi? Captain Green?
Captain Green was the guy that, what happened? Can I finish telling you a little bit more of this story?
Yeah, go ahead.
What happened was after I had beat Burrhead, I was strolling around the ring like a peacock, and the people were so mad at me. And Captain Green was the only police officer that was there. It was a young man. I was just ribbing him, giving him a hard time. So he picked a chair up and threw at me. And by me being a heel, I grabbed the chair. I threw it back, but I didn't throw it directly at him. I threw it down at the edge of the ring. And when I did that, at one time, they said there was 100 chills in the ring. Everybody started throwing chills at me. That's why I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful to Greg Peterson, Dick Dunn, Bearhead Jones, Bob Kelly for getting me out that ring. If they hadn't got me out that ring, I would be toast.
That's a scary situation, isn't it?
Yes, I've been in a couple of riots like that.
Ooh.
But then five years later, here I am in there. Captain Green is still, there's him and one other guy there, and between the two of them, they're probably 165 years old.
Right.
They come into the heels dressing room, and they say, we do not allow fighting. If you fight outside the ring, you go into jail. Jax and I had a spot during our match where we were doing the crisscross, and I'd sidestep him and throw him outside the ring and go out of the ring and beel him onto the concrete floor. So I told Larry Brock, who was the referee, I said, go tell Jackson we're going to have to skip that spot in the match because I'm not going to jail in Selma, Alabama. And he came back and said, well, see, Jackson was my trainer, and you know, he was calling the shots in the match. Larry came back and said, no, Jackson said, do it just like you're going to do. So we go through the whole thing. I pitch him outside the ring, beat him on the floor, get back in the ring. We wind up, he beats me. I roll out of the ring, and I'm headed back to the dressing room. Next thing I know, I've got handcuffs on me. I'm going to jail. I have been arrested and charged with inciting a riot. And I have Burhead Jones, Levi Banks to thank for that.
Well, he told you not to
do it. Luckily, Fuller talked him out of it, and I never got a red, because I was going just like I was in my red tights and red candy apple red boots, and I was a sight.
You'd have been popular at the jail. Listen, this ain't got nothing this got nothing to do with Selma, but we were running Noonan, Georgia one time, and Jerry Blackwell was wrestling as a heel in the opening match against somebody, and I don't remember who it was. And the cops were sitting on the outside the ring on the corners. There was one on each corner, the county police or whatever. And somehow the guys wound up on the floor. And me as a referee, no, I just stood in the ring, normally counted. But for whatever reason, I got out on the floor that night. And I pushed Blackwell around away from the babyface, and Blackwell took off around the corner going around the ring. So I chased him. I don't know why. I don't even remember how the thing got set up. But as we rounded the third corner of the ring going back toward the babyface, Blackwell just reached over and picked the hammer up off the timekeeper's table. And as we rounded that fourth corner where that babyface was, that policeman that was sitting on that corner, he very calmly reached down and unslipped his gun, pulled it out, and he pointed it right over toward Blackwell, and he said, we're not going to have no hammers in Noonan, Georgia. And Blackwell dropped the hammer, and we rolled in the ring. And as if we had choreographed it, as we stood up and looked at each other, we at the same time said, they ain't going to have no hammers in Noonan, Georgia. So, yeah, sometimes being outside the ring is not very profitable.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
You know, people make fun of me because I won't swim in the ocean. You know, I love walking on a beach. I love looking at it, but I don't swim in the ocean. My philosophy is this: there are things in there that will eat you.
That is a fact.
And if I get in there with them, I'm on their ground, and I'm at their mercy. Now, if one of them walks up on the beach, I figure I got a fighting chance to win. And that's sort of a good analogy of being out in the crowd. If you're a wrestler or a referee, you get out there, buddy. You on their turf.
Sure.
And a lot of times you get what you ask for.
Could I give y'all another story?
Sure you can.
Yes, sir.
Roger Smith, I guess everybody know who Roger Smith was. He was my partner for years.
Yep.
He and I, he was my partner for years. If you've seen Roger, you've seen me. Roger and I, we went to West Virginia. We went to Bluefield, West Virginia, and we was wrestling at someplace in Bluefield, West Virginia, and it was a live TV show. And Chuck Conley, one of the old scuffling hillbillies, he was the commentator there, and he had gotten a stiff knee. So he wasn't able to, the leg was stiff. And I was a heel in West Virginia, in a little small town, Bluefield, West Virginia, at a live TV show, and I was beating a guy up and bragging about it. And the guy made his comeback, and I jumped outside the ring, and I was strutting like a peacock, and Chuck Conley came up behind me and stuck me into my hip with a big old hat pin. And he used that cowbell. The next time I did it, he hit me with a cowbell and knocked me completely out. If it hadn't been for Roy, I would still be laying there. And that was a story about a guy that had lost his ability.
Jeez.
Yeah, lost his ability.
Rocket used to tell me stories about working with the scuffling hillbillies. And he used to tell me, he said, that guy wouldn't hit you with that bell but one time. He said, because the next time you wouldn't let him hit you.
That's right, cuz.
He said he was stiff with that bell.
I got another story to tell you guys. Roger and I, we had gone up to Canada. And we was, maybe one of you guys might recognize this guy. His name was the Pink Panther. He was a local hero in Canada. I don't remember the town. I know that we were in a ice hockey arena, an ice hockey arena, and they had plywood over the floor. And we were, Roger was a daredevil, and I was a daredevil too. So we said that we wanted to see who could get the most heat. And the cops did not carry a gun. They carried billy clubs. If I'm not mistaken, we might have been in Newfoundland. I think we were, but they didn't carry guns. And we were, the Pink Panther was their local hero, so we just kept, and then he loved to get color. So we enjoyed it, and we wouldn't let him pass. We deliberately held him over in the corner until the people got so offended. After Roger, the people were going to call him. He said, oh, no, it's you. You said, no, I'm going to go along with it. So I said, and we wouldn't let that guy tag, and the people tore that arena up. And we got back to the dressing room, and I had a blue hat. I used to wear a blue cape with a blue hat, looked like a Playboy's hat. And they stole my hat, but I got away with my jacket. And they tore the dressing room door down, and if it hadn't been for Roy and I putting our back against that door, they would have killed us. So I've been in two riots. I don't want to be in another one.
Well, we got a caller on the line, Levi. Somebody from the Mobile area, but I'm going to get them on the line with us. That may be somebody else that's still looking for you. Hang on. Get my machine to work. Caller from Mobile, go ahead.
Hey, this is Joe Turner.
Hey,
it's Joe Turner. I just want to ask Levi, wasn't he the one that was riding with Glento the time that they ran out of gas?
What? Would you repeat that again?
Were you the one that was riding with Glento the time they ran out of gas over there in Alabama?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, you wasn't? Okay.
No. No, I wasn't.
Well, anyway, how you doing, Levi?
I'm doing fine. What about yourself?
I'm doing great, buddy. By the way, that Selma thing, you talking about Fuller getting his way back in there. I was running Selma before he got in there.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, I ran it for quite a while. I ran that in Tuscaloosa. Anyway, I'll let you get back to Levi. I was thinking he was riding with Spider Glento one time.
But tell us
another story. He's a joke. Go ahead and tell the story.
Well, it might not have been Levi.
Well, you tell a good one over a week.
Well, it don't matter. Tell us anyway.
Whoever it was riding with Spider Glinto, and they come back to them country highways, and they run out of gas. So Spider was going to go get gas, and he had to hitch a ride and left whoever it was there in the camper. And when Spider got back, he done ate up all his food, and somebody robbed him.
I can see why you don't admit to that being you, Levi.
No, it wasn't me.
It wasn't you? Okay.
No, it was a good one, though. That's a good one.
Did you have any trouble there, Joe, in Selma?
A little bit. The police department, yes. They like to run things. And I can tell you a story about that, too, that Captain Green, that other policeman worked there, the real slim one. I nicknamed him Barney Fife. But anyway, let's see if I can tell his story. But give you an idea, there's a girl showed up with a real sexy outfit on one time, and you could see her chest a little bit and everything, and one of them's wife didn't like it, so they went and told her to leave. That's just where there was in that town. And Captain Green threatened all the time to close the town down. And one night, after they'd done all that, one of the girl wrestlers up there got up there, and somebody had to step over toehold on her. And the elastic was loose in her tights, and she kind of exposed herself. And old Barney Fife was bending over underneath the ropes trying to look. I went over there and just put a stop to it, told her to go change and put some more tights on. And he got mad at me. So, but that was a fair little old town. And anyway, I let y'all get back to Levi. I just wanted to see if that was him that done that. I've heard so many stories over the years.
Well, you probably won't find anybody admit to that.
Well, that's my things.
But I can truthfully say it wasn't me.
Okay, I believe you, Levi. You've always been honest. Yeah. It's like I won't mention his name, but he just passed away. I was driving with him one time, and he was talking about he met a girl at a bar. And he said he bought her drinks and everything else and took her up to the room. It was a guy. He's telling me this story. And I told him, I said, man, I wouldn't even tell that story.
Bill Bowman might have been left in that camper.
I tell you what, Bill did anything, I can tell you that. Bill never backed up from anything. So he one time we was in Georgia there at that restaurant down in South Georgia, and we were standing in line how you go around the cafeteria. And there's a bunch of women sitting there eating, and we stand in line waiting to get served, and they was eating roast beef. Bill looked down there and says, "Is that roast beef any good, ma'am?" He's making a nervous staring at her. And anyway, they said, "Yes, sir, sure is." He says, "You mind if I have a taste of it?" anyway,
Wait a minute, Joe, before you leave. I'm going to get Bill on the line to defend himself now. Hold on a minute.
Okay.
Bill, you there?
Mr.
Bowman.
Yes.
I said, Joe Turner's talking bad about you. I was going to put you on the air to defend yourself.
I don't know what to say. I'm just dumbfied.
Him and I like drove Billy Spears crazy. One time we was coming back from up in Kentucky, and we started so much crap with him. He tried to, when we stopped at the beer stop, he asked the other guy, "Can I ride with y'all?" He didn't even want to ride with us no more. So,
Levi, did you ever have the privilege of working with these two in the ring, Joe and Bill?
Who was that? Joe and Bill?
Turner and Bill Bowman.
No, I didn't have the privilege of working with him. We crossed paths. See, my path, because I wasn't a well-established wrestler at the time, so I had to keep moving.
Yeah, you know, I don't think we was either.
You got
Yeah. I don't think we was either, Levi.
Yeah, could I say something about one of my favorite guys that I guess everybody know him. He passed away now. He was probably one of the you know, you hear horror stories about guys in the ring and how they do this and how they do that. Let me just put a plug in for one of the nicest guys that ever put on a pair of tights. And his name, he was my partner. I used to ride with him a lot. And he would never, ever let me drive. His name was Oki Shikino.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Probably the nicest guy that ever put on a pair of tights. And I can always say, and I looked for him for 10 years, and then he finally came to Mobile, and I was the last one to take him home. My wife and my daughter, we drove him all the way back to his home. I got a chance to meet his wife and two children, two boys, and may God rest his soul. He was probably the nicest guy. Oki Shikino.
Let me tell you something, Levi. I think you are, too, because he wanted to ride back to Georgia, and you went out of your way to take him. And I really thought that was nice. I was there when you done that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was my friend. He was my friend, and probably one of them. He was the nicest guy in wrestling, and I had looked for him, but it was just that God gave us the opportunity to see him before he passed away. He was personally one of the nicest guys that ever put on a pair of tights.
Yep, that's true.
Levi.
He come. Go ahead.
Yes. Levi. Yeah, Bill Bowman. Hey, Bill. Levi, you know, well, through the last 5 or 6 years, you're probably one of the nicest persons I have ever met. And you did a couple things and went out of your way doing them. And you know I appreciate it very much. And I think the world of you and your wife and your daughter. You know where I'm coming from. Yes, I do. Yes, and I
thank you.
Thank guys, you. Thank you. He's one of the best.
He is that. He is that. If he did give me a rest in Selma, Alabama.
Well, that's called doing your job.
Yes,
you,
yes, it was.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. You know, you're always in my prayer. My wife and my daughter thank the world of you. Every time we go there, you know who we look forward to seeing, don't you? Besides the other guy is Bill Bowman. And thank you, thank you, and thank you.
Well, it's my pleasure knowing a great human being. Now that I've put you over.
Uh-oh.
I knew this was coming, but go ahead.
Yes. Levi, were you a good heel?
Was I a good heel?
Yes.
I tell you, I worked hard at it. I did everything I possibly could to make myself a heel. They say that I had a face only a mother could love, just like you remember Bill Curry? Yeah. So they were telling me I had a face only a mother could love, and I used it to my advantage. So I tried hard at it.
Well,
you came at the right time in the business when integration had already passed in the business, where it used to be nothing but black on black and white on white. You got in when probably about 3 or 4 years after the integration came to the business, and you were able to make the living, and I'm sure glad for you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It's just that I work hard, and I'm going to tell you, the secret is, if you love people, you love people that you want to do the best job possible. The people came there to see a show, and I was able to give them a show. It might not be in the best of everybody's ability, but it was the best of my ability. And I did
that's
everything
all that
I could to make the show go good. And when the people leave there, they need to leave there talking. And they need to leave there talking. That was my whole objective when I got in the wrestling, was to make the people have a good time and to see the wrestler and to go home mad so they can come back the next week.
Well, I'm not trying to speak for Levi, Bill, but as somebody who, as a fan, before I got in the business, saw him perform in Mobile, I can tell you he was over as a heel. Those people hate him more than anything you'd ever seen, especially when he would get in the ring and he would have them announce him as being from St. Paul, Minnesota. That's the way that I got over with his fans in Mobile, Alabama. And that kind of brings me up. I know we're going to kind of cut it short tonight because I know Jerry's got some things pressing on him, but I wanted to get in our Jerry Oates Natural Products name of the week. And the name I thought of, somebody, Levi, that you teamed with in Mobile quite a bit. Jerry, I'm not sure if you ever worked with him, possibly maybe out in Kansas City. Bobby, I'm not sure if you're familiar with him, or Joe and Bill, if you guys are with him, but the name is Jim Starr.
Oh, yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes, I know him.
Mm-hmm. Well, Levi, tell us about you and Jim working against Danny Little Bear and Tony Gonzalez.
Yes. You want me to tell you about it?
Yeah.
What I remember mostly about it was Danny Little Bear. Because to me, Danny Little Bear and I can't think of the name, he was from Texas, the big tall guy, they used to do basically the same thing. And he had a habit of kind of break me up. And he would always try to break me up. You know what I'm talking about? And I refused to be broken. But I had some good matches with Danny Little Bear. I really had some good matches. What stick out in my mind about him? He was a nice guy. He was an Indian. And he used to have on the van, "If this van is rocking, don't bother about knocking."
That was a fact.
I know. Had one of those stickers, didn't you, Joe? That sounds like Joe Turner, a sticker Joe Turner would have.
That was Danny Little Bear. Yeah, he was a
Joe upgraded. It wasn't a van, it was a motorhome.
It was
a hotel.
It was on wheels.
A rolling hotel. He had something on the door that said, "Come on in anyway." You're next.
Yeah. Well, Jerry, did you work with Jim Starr much?
Oh, many, many, many nights. Him and Tom Andrews.
Wasn't Jim Starr from Georgia?
No, I don't know where he was from. I know he's living in Shreveport.
I'm thinking
You're talking about where
Jim Starr from originally. Yeah, he's from Bossier City.
Yep, he's still got a gym there in Bossier City. In fact, the funny thing about it, he lives probably less than 2 miles from Ken Ramey.
Ramey out there too.
Yep, Randy's in Bossier City as well.
Yep. You know where Jim Starr had his first match?
No idea.
In the federal prison with me. In Atlanta.
Which one of you was incarcerated at the time?
Both of us.
Yeah, I think you're thinking about the other star, the other guy.
I'm not talking about the star that worked as the hangman and worked as the intern, too. I'm talking about the other star.
That's one we're talking about.
You're talking about Ron Starr.
Yeah.
Ron Starr, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey,
real name Bobby
old.
Nutt. Yeah.
Yeah. That happens when you get old. Yes, I understand.
Well, speaking of old, Levi, I got one more person to get on the line with you. I know he's going to want to talk to you, so hang on just a second.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mr. Smith.
Hey, is my son still there? Levi, tell him who your dad is.
Hey, Daddy, how you doing? Hey, my father's on the line. My long-lost father. Hey, Charlie.
What are you doing, Levi?
I'm waiting on you to send that non-support check.
I'll give it to Bobby.
Oh, okay, give it to Bobby so I can pick it up. How
I'm
you doing,
give
Father?
It to him.
You already gave it to him?
Yeah.
Oh, Father, why hadn't you called me this week?
Hey, y'all know where Levi first... Y'all know where Levi went when he first started the business? He went to Missouri. Y'all there?
Uh-huh. That's right.
He went to Missouri. The first match you ever had.
Uh-huh.
And I asked him, did you do a job? He said, no, the guy put me over.
Okay.
The first match.
Okay, well, tell him the reason why you put me over.
Because
I was a what?
Yeah. I don't know why.
Because I was a big old crowbar.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he did put
you know
me
what?
Over.
You didn't stay there too long. They sent him to Detroit.
Uh-huh. Well, I went up there with the sheik there because I was trying to build them big muscles, and I was stiff as a board. Stiff as a board. And the guy gave me his body, and I took it around together. Yeah, he gave me his body. He gave me his body, and I took advantage of it. Yeah, Father. Hey, Father.
Yeah.
How you doing?
All right.
You always do good.
Somebody say something or something.
We're so used to listening, Charlie, when you start talking.
Hey, I want to tell you, I want to put on Georgia Championship Wrestling that I am available for bookings. You know, you call me, be booked in your town. All these wrestlers do it.
We know you're available for anything.
Yeah, you got that right. Long as there's money involved in it.
Right. Look, Charlie, he's the only referee in the business that does the three count with his foot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's available legal and otherwise.
I went to Manchester about a month ago, and the referee did show up. And the guy that put it on wanted a live referee. I told him no. He got in there, referee. And he stood in the corner the whole time, except when somebody went down. Yeah, that's all. God, it was horrible. I saw him jump in the ring and go ahead and do it. He made the referee look bad.
Hey, Bobby.
Guys, we're going to wind it down now, and I want to thank Levi for giving us his time tonight. Levi, I appreciate it. We're going to have you on again. Dylan, Joe, I have been getting several requests for another show with you guys, so whenever you guys are available, let me know, and love to do another show with you guys as well.
Michael, thanks, fellas.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate every moment of this. You bring joy to my heart to sit down there and talk about old friends. And that's a song that Bobby sings all the time, old friends. And it's a pleasure to talk with you guys. I would love to do this again.
Well, we'll certainly have you back on.
I'd be more than happy. It's just that Bobby always talking about heroes. All of you guys are my heroes.
I look up to you guys. You guys make my day. Y'all make me feel so warm and welcome whenever I'm around you. You don't know how much you do to my family and for my kids to grow up and see gentlemen like you guys. Keep the good work up. Anytime you need me, I'm mostly available. Call me anytime. I would love to talk with you guys. And
definitely do that again, then.
This is a person
that's
from many years. Thank you.
Thanks, Levi.
Thank you, Levi.
Thank you, Levi.
Have a good one, bud.
Okay, thanks. Hey, Michael.
Yes, sir.
Have you sent the present to Bobby? I suggested to send it to him from the circus.
No, they're not. I won't see them again until they're back in town in my town in July. So, but that's on my list of things to get. I'm gonna get one for him and one for Charlie.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think Joe Turner would enjoy it too.
Yeah, that's true.
That's all right. Don't do me no favors. Ronnie West did me a favor whenever I went to the circus here and took my grandkids. He done me a favor and got them clowns to put on an act and get me in it. It's best not to even deal with anything from that group.
Oh man, I tell you, this is almost being back in the wrestling business. I miss being around Ronnie this week. He's such a character, and he's been so fun to spend time with, and I've learned so much from him. And,
yeah.
Now that he knows I'm putting him over on the radio, I'm gonna have to get $10 from him.
That's worth it.
Well, Ronnie West is like family to Bill and I. He was with Ronnie West when he started, and he was with him when he got married. And we've been through a lot with Ronnie West. We think the world of him.
He's a good guy.
He talks about you guys. Well, he talks about all of you. He loves all of you guys dearly. And I tell you, I was never around Ronnie much in the wrestling business. These few weeks that I've spent with him on the road up here have been an absolute joy. I can imagine how much fun he was like back in the day. I've seen him get a little bit out of shape too when things haven't gone right. So I can imagine what he was like running towns too. So.
Oh,
Colin Two
was a good guy.
Colin Two Tone. Yeah, I don't have to tell you what it is now, but I just call him Two Tone.
He'll know what you're talking about.
He may get hot at me.
Yeah,
oh,
he will. That was his handle on the TV, the Tennessee Two Tone.
Yeah, you know what it is, don't you, Bobby?
Yes, I do.
Everybody knows what it is, but in the rest of it is.
Yeah.
Don't leave that man alone.
Michael.
All right, well, yes, sir.
Tell them what I suggested you send them.
Well, let me think how I can say it on the radio.
Oh, you say it.
An elephant patty. That would be out, Patty. I'm sending you an elephant. But seriously, in circus lore, the hair tail off or a hair off the elephant's tail is supposedly good luck. You can get one, make a ring or a bracelet out of it. It's supposed
to send me a bunch of them.
Good luck.
Don't send me none. I used to work for Nick Goulas, and I said I don't believe in luck.
Well, I got to talk somebody into getting that close to an elephant because I'm not going to do it, especially not that end of an elephant.
I heard that.
I still am leery around the camel that we've got because when I was a kid, I got spit on by a camel one time, and it took me a month to get that odor off of me.
You know the best thing for chapped lips is to kiss one on the rear end.
That's what I've heard. You won't lick your lips.
That's it. Hey, guys, I'm going to get off the phone, but let me tell you all something. A lady asked me today. She said, asked me, so you ain't good in bed? I said, hell yeah, I can sleep for hours at a time.
That's a good one.
I'll see y'all later. So,
good night, Joe.
All right, Joe.
Good night, Mike.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have the two of them on with us again. Guys, this has been fun. Jerry, I appreciate you hanging in with us. I know you're worn out. And again, condolences on yours and Ted's loss. And Bobby,
appreciate
always. Appreciate you guys. Love you guys to death. I just wish you guys were up here on the road with me.
I miss the road sometimes myself.
Charlie, I'm still trying to get you. They don't have anybody to sell real gimmicks like T-shirts and stuff like that. I'm trying to talk them into getting you involved.
Well, Ronnie off his job one time, but he had a shovel with it.
He was going to be a pilot for the circus.
Yeah, I thought I was interested in that. Good night, gentlemen.
How are you? All right, Charlie, good night.
All right, good night, everybody.
Well, guys, we will get together next Thursday and do this again. I appreciate everybody joining us tonight, and really appreciate you guys, as always.
Had a blast.
Had a good time,
so
man.
We'll see what kind of trouble we can get in next week.
I'm sure we'll
give me a week to plan something.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, I appreciate it, guys. And
all right, guys, everybody
see
be
you
safe.
Next week.
Y'all be safe. Bye-bye.
All right.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, the latest news on pro wrestling and MMA, and more. GWH thanks you for your support.